Welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast, where we unlock the winning edge through conversations with industry experts and thought leaders. Each episode explores how transforming business through human experience creates real impact. Join us for actionable insights and fresh perspectives that inspire success. Follow, rate, and review the podcast on your favorite platform. The next episode could spark your next big idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast. Today, I'm together with Michael Madsen. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Doing well, Greg. How are you?
Very well and super thrilled to kick off this discussion. Today's game is harnessing the power of emotional intelligence in CX. And I'm super thrilled to have the opportunity to discuss with somebody like you about this topic. But before we start discussing, could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you, Greg. So yeah, Michael Madsen here. I am an emotional intelligence enthusiast. I love helping organizations become more emotionally intelligent. And I see the extreme value in how businesses deliver to their customers and to their employees through emotional intelligence. My career spans from huge logistics organizations to now, you know, I'm in the insurance industry, but I started with my roots in entrepreneurship. And so I wore a lot of different hats that have given me some insights into how organizations think and how they operate. And I'd love to see, you know, how we can really maximize the human aspects of organizations and still create these win-win situations for the businesses, employees, and customers.
Thank you very much. I need to share that you have an outstanding show on LinkedIn that you are sharing. Could you please elaborate also a bit on that? And to the audience, please follow Michael and find out these videos because these are great videos with incredible creativity.
Yeah, it is 2020-ish. And it is a show where we have gotten, where Luke Jameson and I have gotten 20 plus customer experience leaders together and ask them 20 questions. And they're supposed to stay to a 4-second response, which never happens, but that's okay. But really just diving into a bunch of different topics related to customer experience, employee experience, experience in general, experience management, sometimes getting into just like even a little bit more personal things. But it's really just an authentic conversation, little sound bites where people have these leaders have the opportunity to share their perspectives and hopefully give us some nuggets of wisdom along the way.
That's really great. Thank you very much for this. And I really like these videos. Which values drive you in life?
Human connection, empathy, really understanding that we are all people and taking care of one another. I think that is something that I care deeply about is just caring for one another and treating people with dignity and respect.
Thank you very much. Today's top player is now a bit more known, Michael. And now let's kick off the game. Let's start the game. How can leaders leverage emotional intelligence to enhance their team's performance?
Yeah, I think this is a really important question because I always go back to Daniel Goleman's framework of emotional intelligence. There's 5 pillars, and within those, there's 12 competencies. But just to give a little overview of that framework, you have self-awareness as one of the pillars, self-regulation, motivation, empathy, and people skills. And so there's a lot of different emotional intelligence kind of competencies that fall within each of those categories. But when you're thinking about how leaders can harness emotional intelligence to help enhance their team's performance, it really comes down to, you know, it starts with that self-reflection. And as a leader, that is one of the most important things that you can do is just pause for a second. Because every single day you're running, you're trying to drive performance, you're looking at all your key performance indicators, your metrics, and your eye is on the business, right? And you're looking at people as vehicles to deliver that value and to increase the metrics. But if we take a step back and really look internally, first of all, understand ourselves a little bit better, how we are dealing with the stresses of leadership, how we are aligned with our core values and how we really view the world and challenge that, that's where we have to start. We have to start with that curiosity. And so that self-awareness part, it's the very first thing in that model of Daniel Goleman's emotional intelligence. And I think there's a reason for that, because until we do that, we cannot get into any of the other pillars of emotional intelligence. And so we start with that, we build off that, and then continuing that theme of curiosity, we go into really just trying to understand our team, learning from them, learning about them on a human level. I think that something that a mistake that I made when I first got into leadership was that I tried to keep a very strong boundary between me as a leader and my team on a personal level. And I think that was a mistake, because what I started seeing was that I was compartmentalizing leadership into something that was not organic. It was really trying to, you know, maintain those, like, yeah, it's important to maintain professionalism. And I think that you can still maintain professionalism and still care about your team on a personal level, learn about what's going on in their lives. You don't have to pry, but if they want to talk to you about what's going on at home, have that conversation, learn about them, relate to them, build those connections, because that is the foundation of a very strong team. And by you doing that, you're setting the stage for their behavior. You're demonstrating to them how human connection and how to treat people, what the value in that. And guess what? If you're leading a team that interacts with customers, they're going to take that and they're going to run with that. And they're going to really take those same values and transfer that over to the customer experience. And so I think in customer experience, we look at the connection between employee experience and customer experience a lot. And we know that you can't have great customer experience without great employee experience. And I think that's where it really starts, is you build that connection with your team on a human level. And then you build it from there, and you build it off of trust and authenticity. You don't abuse that trust, and you're transparent with them, and you listen to them. I think that's one of the biggest things that a lot of new leaders kind of, like, one of the biggest mistakes they make is they think that as a leader, you always have to be the one leading the conversation, that you always have to be the one to be speaking and, you know, leading that charge vocally. You don't. You can lead that team silently by listening, by really, truly trying to understand, absorbing all of that. And that's going to build that trust up with them, because I bet you in the past, they probably haven't experienced that and they probably have not felt valued. And you're going to start differentiating yourself as a leader when you can do that successfully.
Thank you for sharing this information. I think that's what you're describing, servant leadership. And this is key, that you take care of your team. And you said, and you shared also, that you like to listen to people and their stories and also their personal stories, what are happening in their lives. Perhaps could you share, if you are also sharing what's happening in your life, in your private life with your team, and how are you handling that? I think this would motivate a lot of people, a lot of emerging leaders.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think this is a tough conversation to breach as a leader. And it takes that authenticity. It takes courage, right? To be personal with your employees. And so I don't manage a team anymore, right? But I did for nearly a decade with my last career path. And I think that, you know, some things that I had struggled with, even on a personal level, but was still even professionally related, was imposter syndrome. And I think everybody feels that, you know, sometimes. And I think that there's this vulnerability you have to have and say, hey, guess what, guys? Like, I'm not sure what the answer is here. Let's have a discussion about it. Right. And kind of walking into those conversations and not being afraid to come off as being, you know, not knowing everything. And I think that people respond really well to that. And, you know, like, everybody has, like, you know, relationship struggles, everybody has, like, family challenges, you know, people with ailing health in their lives. And those have all happened as I was, you know, as I'm a leader, right? And so those are not things that are outside of you in your role. Like those, like you're bringing your whole person to work. And I think that when you can demonstrate that to your employees and you can show that, hey, guess what? Like, I'm not bringing my 100% today. I can't. Like, I have a lot of things going on, a lot of worries, a lot of stressors. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not going to be able to do that. And guess what? A lot of times your team will step up and support you, just like you step up to support them. And that is what true human connection really comes into play. It's you have empathy for your team. They have empathy for you, and you do what you can for each other, and they listen to you. And it's not this just like, you know, you're all whining together. That's not that. It's you are being vulnerable and authentic as a human. You are understanding that and showcasing that we are not just these robots that can, as soon as we walk through the doors, we can just put all of that messy life stuff to the side. Instead, we bring that to work. Yeah, we have to regulate ourselves and we have to process that in a very, you know, professional way, but it doesn't mean that we can't, like, that we have to just shove it away and hide it. Instead, we can, you know, we can have these conversations with our team, and it creates the psychological safety within your team. And I think that when you have that psychological safety, there's no challenge that's too big for you as a team to handle.
Thank you very much. And you also mentioned that it's not only important within the team, because there will be also a reflection to customer interactions if you are doing that within your team. What key components of emotional intelligence directly impact customer interactions, and how can they be developed within a team?
Yeah, I think that this is an interesting question, because I think we always try to hone in on one thing or two things that really come into play. And when we talk about emotional intelligence, it's really everything, right? It's all of the pillars of emotional intelligence, because customer interactions, like let's forget the word customer and just say human interactions, right? Because that's really what it is. It's you're interacting, you're bonding, you're building relationships with people. And that could be your internal customers, that could be external customers. We're all people, right? And so all of these pillars of emotional intelligence come into play, because that's all part of human dynamics and it's all part of that relationship. So, you know, that's, we talked about self-awareness. Self-regulation is a part of self-awareness. It's how you start managing those emotions once you're aware and consciously thinking about them. Your motivation, like what is your, like how motivated you are, and how resilient you are and optimistic and those kind of things. Those, of course, come into play with any kind of relationship, because nobody wants somebody who, or have a relationship with somebody that isn't determined, isn't motivated to make it work, isn't motivated to bring themselves to the conversation, isn't motivated to, you know, is maybe always negative, right? Like those aren't good practices. And then empathy, you know, we talk about just building that connection, listening, customer interactions. That's 90% of a customer interaction, is just listening and trying to understand their perspective. And that goes beyond understanding the challenge that they're facing, the reason why they're talking to you. It goes to, you know, what are some of those emotional, psychological, physical needs that they have that are unmet, and understanding those and trying to, as another human, put yourself a little bit closer to their perspective, to in their shoes. You can never fully understand them as a whole human. And so don't pretend like you can. No matter how much listening you do, you can't represent people based on this, you know, out of context kind of like brief interaction. That's not reality. So I think that, like, that whole, you know, putting yourself in somebody else's shoes is less about trying to walk their same path. And it's more about trying to better understand some parts and really do, like, really try, right? And I keep coming back to being curious, because that's what all of this is. It's just don't make assumptions. Always be like, ask questions and care about the answers. Don't just ask questions to ask questions. Really, truly care about what their answers are. And then the last component or the last pillar of emotional intelligence is all of these people skills, right? And that is like conflict management. That is influence, coaching, like all of these kind of things that are like those relationship management kind of things. And so that's where all of this comes into like tactical play, where you are building off of this relationship and you are using all of these skills that you are building up in your journey to being emotionally intelligent. And you are displaying them in these human interaction points of contact, right? That teamwork, right? How you build teams within your organization, how you inspire people, right? Because you're connecting to them on a personal level, on an emotional level. So I think that's where it all comes to play. So long story short, it's not one or two things. It's all of these things together. And it's really just trying to be connected to yourself as a human, connecting to others as humans.
From my point of view, you explained that very well. Perhaps for the audience, do you have an example of an organization that was able to successfully integrate emotional intelligence in their process, in their interactions, in building teams?
Yeah. So I think anytime you talk about emotional intelligence, it's hard not to think about the Ritz-Carlton. And so I think about their radar on, antenna up kind of mentality. And it's really about anticipating the verbal and nonverbal cues from their customers. And so when I think about that, that's directly tied to empathy, right? And you take all of this knowledge you gain about another person and you build an experience around that. And they really, like the Ritz-Carlton, and I know like I'm reading some books, and it's almost like every book that I read, they mention the Ritz-Carlton. And I think there's a reason for that. And it's because they have taken components of emotional intelligence and built it into their business model, into their strategy. It differentiates them in the market, and it makes them profitable, more profitable, because it really respects that relationship on the human level. And they see people as people and not just, you know, as customers with customer IDs and things like that, that strip those human identities. You know, they refer to their customers by name, right? And I know that doesn't seem like a big feat, but I think you'd be surprised. Some companies can't even talk to their customers by their name. They still use valued customer or you know, even just misspelling their customers' names or just using their last name out of context. It's weird, right? It's not organic. It's not authentic. It's not how humans would interact. And so, yeah. So Ritz-Carlton is one. There's several other companies that I think come to mind, like Zappos comes to mind as far as their mentality around customer service and empowering their employees. And we talked about the importance of emotional intelligence in within your culture. And that's where it really has to start. You can't drop emotional intelligence onto a broken model or a toxic culture and say, hey, guess what? This will fix it because here are these, you know, five pillars of emotional intelligence. Here are these 12 competencies. Let's do some emotional intelligence tests, like these kind of things. It's not going to work because it's not built into the culture of the organization. The organization has not placed value in taking care of their people, and that extends to employees and customers and other partners that they deal with. And so without that foundation, without seeing that as a valued aspect of the business model, then it's not going to go very far. So I think that's where I think like there's a lot of companies that have pieces of emotional intelligence that they bring into, especially customer service. But a lot of times you don't see that extending beyond customer service. They see it as this compartmentalized, like, oh, you know, this is our customer facing team. They're the only ones that need to really care about this. And we'll do, you know, customer service training that has as parts of emotional intelligence And it doesn't have long-term effects because, first of all, it's siloed. And so the rest of the organization's priorities are going to be competing with that customer support or customer services priorities. And it's going to contradict a lot of what that customer service team that is focusing on emotional intelligence is trying to do. And when decisions have to be made, escalations are you know, things are sent up and leadership has to make a decision, it's not going to be aligned with the emotional intelligence. And you're going to have these messages from leadership that are coming down that's, hey, guess what? That's great that you guys are doing that. We don't care about that. We only care about X, Y, and Z. And emotional intelligence or taking care of our customers doesn't fit into it. So you're going to destroy your morale within your customer service and support teams because they're going to feel like islands in taking care of the customers. And yet they will not feel like they have any support from a cultural standpoint, resources, anything like that, because they won't. When it comes to the end of, you know, when it really, really comes down to it, they won't have that support because it is not a priority of the organization. It's not part of that vision.
What you're saying, it totally makes sense. And you mentioned, for example, Ritz-Carlton, it's profitable. Zappos is also profitable. But you said also from perhaps if not the complete company is focusing on this topic, some people don't care. Is there a way that you can measure emotional intelligence and also the impact on the long term on a business? What's your view on that?
Yeah. So, you know, I think this is where there's a lot of pain, right? Is trying to quantify the impact of emotional intelligence. And I think that this is where a lot of executive leaderships kind of get hung up and they're like, oh, what's the ROI on emotional intelligence? And it's like, okay. So first of all, emotional intelligence should be seen holistically, right? It should be seen not as one singular training program. It shouldn't be seen as, you know, let's do a workshop and then, you know, or let's, you know, send our executives off to retreat for emotional intelligence. And there's been some stories that I've seen on or replies that I've gotten on LinkedIn about that, where people are like, yeah, it's like, you know, send your executive leadership off to a retreat and they come back and they're still micromanaging and they don't care about people. And it's like, it was just a vacation for them. And it's like, what true value? They didn't take it seriously. And so when it comes to like measuring emotional intelligence, I think that, you know, this is a dilemma that we have in the experience space too, is just trying to make things that are a little bit more emotionally driven, a little bit more like that have more ambiguity to it and tie it to hard metrics. And I think this is where, when you're measuring it, look at the impact on employee satisfaction. Look at the impact on customer satisfaction. Look at the impact on first contact resolutions, right? Look at the impact of retention, right? Look at your customer churn. Like all of these things have direct ties to the financials of an organization. And it's like, I think we all need to do a better job of taking that next step in how we link to our financials and look past, okay, this singular thing is tied one-to-one with this thing, right? But let's look at the whole ecosystem. And I think we can measure it and tie those things if we kind of see beyond that first level metric and we start seeing, well, what has contributed to that? And so if you are looking at, say, any kind of efficiency metric, right? Emotional intelligence is going to increase efficiency because you create a psychologically safe environment where you're actually also improving the quality of the work because you're not afraid of being punished. I'm not saying there isn't accountability in an emotionally intelligent culture. There is. There's a ton of it. In fact, it's tied, like it's one-to-one, right? But there isn't that fear of if I make a small mistake, then I'm going to be punished in a way that is not even like, you know, it's not at the same level, right, as the mistake. You don't create a culture of learning and curiosity when you know punish people who take those risks and make those mistakes and they fail, right? If somebody has the intentions that are aligned with your vision and the goal is to drive the business further, give them a little bit of breathing room and let them explore some of those things with some boundaries, right? With some coaching guidance and some guardrails. But if you have this environment that's full of tension and toxicity, then everything suffers. And I've seen that time after time where people don't feel safe to do their work to their fullest. And so as far as measuring it, you know, look at all of your typical, you know, business metrics, and you will see impact of emotional intelligence if you see the journey of emotional intelligence as a journey and as a broader kind of thing. If you see it as just one event and you try to measure the impact of that, you're not going to be very impressed, because that is not what emotional intelligence is. It's not just, you know, it starts with that training and starts with understanding what it is, but it's a constant journey of self-reflection and empathy. It's a practice, right? And you have to continue to do that consistently.
Thank you very much, Michael. We are coming to an end of this game, but I still have three questions for you in the extra time, the last 3 minutes, 1 minute each. Fast forward in 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we are discussing about?
Yeah, we are probably discussing how to make things more human. And as technology continues to advance, as you know, Gen AI has kind of shown us, I think that there's going to be this strong desire for human connection. And there is a risk that people are going to be further and further away from one another on a human level. We see it in political divides. We see it in gaps in the economy. Like, we see it in all of these different things that are just kind of pulling people apart. Even, you know, for people to have like every meeting through Zoom, like that is a separation, you know, because of technology. And it's a great thing, because like you and I, we can have a conversation from across the world. And, you know, we can have this great conversation. But I think people are going to be really looking for like maximizing humanity. And those with strong emotional intelligence competencies are really going to stand out, because people want to have authentic trust-based relationships. And the only way you get to that is if you are practicing emotional intelligence.
And what's the best way to contact you?
Reach out to me on LinkedIn. Yeah, my LinkedIn's great. Message me or, you know, set up some time. I have a link to my Calendly, and you can set up some time and we can have a conversation. Those are the best ways to contact me.
Thank you, Michael. And for the audience, you will find all the information in the show notes. And now we are coming to Michael's golden nugget. It's something that we discussed, or something new to leave to the audience with.
Yeah, if I could leave one thing with the audience, it's just be kind to one another, treat each other with dignity and respect, care about yourself, and care about human connection, and always be curious.
Michael, thank you very much for this great discussion. It was really a big pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg.
Michael, please stay with me. To the audience, it's everything for today. I hope that you enjoyed this discussion as much as I did. We love feedback, and please be curious and ask us questions. If you have any questions, ask Michael or myself questions, and we will ensure to provide you all the answer that we have, or kick off a new discussion. Thank you very much, and bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.